Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Hi.
You're not doing good, Simon.
All right. Sorry. All
right, so Whiskey Congress is back. We're back. We finished our show talking about
awkward entry. Awkward,
yes, whatever. All right. So one thing we didn't get to, and we've talked a lot in the past about Colin Kaepernick and the anthem protests, and a lot of shit came out on that this last week. Jim Brown came out and said,
"Well, let's back it up. Before we get to the Jim Brown, let's talk about the Browns and the Cleveland Browns during their, I think it was their second preseason game. They're about, I think it was like 5 or 6 players." Knelt and prayed.
It was 12 total. Two more white. 12 total players knelt during the national anthem.
Right, and it's interesting. The one white guy. I think it was Vitaly. He's actually married to a black woman, and he said he was kneeling because his children don't look like him, and he's worried about the world that his children are being brought into. You know, the Browns players, what they did was they knelt and they prayed during the anthem.
Right.
And they said that they were praying for, you know, just a better place down the line. And I want to be clear how I feel about this. I've said it and we've talked about it, but I love this country.
You've made that clear.
It's the only
country. We love this country.
Right. It's the only country that I know. I was born here. I was raised here. You know, it's funny, you know, when white supremacists or whatever, they tell you to go back to Africa. I never been to Africa. Can't go back to some place I've never been. I've got no connections to Africa. We've talked about it.
You hate the expression African American,
right? Because I don't like African American, and Africans don't like me, us, right? Like, I mean, they don't like people. Black Africans don't like black people from the U.S.
America, yeah.
And they have a million different reasons why, right? Like, so there's no connection for me there. I love the United States. This is my home. This is my country. I was willing to fight and die for it.
You did join the military academy.
Exactly. So. And so, I've got no hesitation in saying that, but this country that I live in, this country that I love, isn't perfect. And
hate America.
There are a number of different issues that need to be
improved, fixed,
that need
whatever,
to get
yeah.
rectified, right? That's why you and I do what we do.
Absolutely.
And those guys, for the Browns, that's what they were saying. They're saying, listen, this is a great place, but it could be better. So let's kneel and let's pray for it to get better. Do it while everyone is paying homage to it with this song, looking at the flag. We're going to kneel and we're going to pray, right? And so, if you're a conservative, then chances are you have Christian values, and that should mean something to you, right? Like, maybe you don't, like, if it's, the flag, the anthem, what it's turning into is they can only mean one thing. The flag and the anthem can only mean one thing. Soldiers and police. That's it. Right?
Right. That's how they're choosing to interpret it.
The argument is the flag only means soldiers who fought, soldiers who died, and police. Anything else, if the flag means anything else to you, and if you don't stand and represent and praise that flag and listen to that song, then you're anti-American. And that, to me, that sentiment to me is anti-American. You know, listening to soldiers earlier today, there was a guy who was a soldier. He said, when they kneel and they don't pay respect to that flag, they're pissing on me and everything I did for that country, and they should be standing. But so what you're saying is you want someone to praise you for something that you volunteered to do.
Or I think another way to say it is you fought for freedoms that you don't want exercised in a way that don't represent.
You volunteered to fight for freedom. You said, I'm going to defend your freedom, but you're not free.
Unless you agree with what I'm saying.
Unless you celebrate it the way I want you to.
All right. So we've had Bill Squire on the show. We've had Cody Brown, Pound Cake from the Alan Cox Show on the show. They had a caller call in this week, and sorry to throw this out of the blue, but it was amazing. This guy was a thrice wounded combat veteran who said he does not like to see that behavior of people kneeling during the anthem, but he also fully believes he risked his life to defend that kind of freedom. It's available on their website. It's Alan Cox Show. I don't want to cross promote with someone who doesn't know I'm doing it, but this call was amazing because this guy like literally said, you know, he talked about the injuries he sustained, and he said it did not rub me the right way, but the idea that this is not American behavior rubbed him completely the wrong way.
Right.
And how
he's not alone.
No, he's not alone. And this guy, assuming you know everything he said is true, which everything he said seemed to match up, you know, he'd seen and done shit that I could not possibly imagine. And he basically said, I did this so you could say stuff I don't agree with.
Right.
And all these, the anti-protest stuff, if you break it down, these protests are perfect protests in the sense that they are getting attention mm-hmm. for a cause without actually hurting anyone.
Right.
Right?
I mean, when Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, those protests, think about this. People in Cleveland were upset with the Tamir Rice protests because
they shut down traffic.
Oh, I was late getting home from work and I couldn't get my kid from the babysitter, and you know, like that's rude. That's like, why would they do
it
that?
It hurts me. I'm on your side.
Screw
and you're hurting
you
me.
Because that, like, I was with you until you screwed right. my day, right? Like, so that's a bad protest, right? Because it kept you from getting home in time to make your
right.
fucking, you know, rice-a-roni. All right. You know, the protests in Ferguson were well documented, and that got out of hand. And
certainly,
you know, Baltimore, I'm in Baltimore all the time. They still talk about what was done there. You know, so those were protests that were, you know, brutal and unacceptable, right? So now you got guys that are literally for, you know, 2 minutes and 30 seconds are taking a knee during a period of time that only probably, I don't know, 15% of the country actually pays attention to the NFL, right? And of the 15% of the country that pays attention to the NFL, it's a 1% that actually pays attention to the national anthem. It's the people who are at the games, right?
Right.
Because how often do you sit at home and watch the national anthem during an NFL game?
Steve, when the national anthem is... No, I'm gonna
stop.
Do it.
Don't even go down there. So... You know, I mean,
well, but let's be even at the game, right? So the people in the stadium, you know, if you're wearing a hat, people yell, take your hat off. I'm fine with that. I've done that. I don't wear hats often. When I do, I take it off during the national anthem. I put my hand over my heart. But there are people getting beers. There's people taking a whiz. There's people buying a hot dog, munching on a hot dog. If you're not out there, you're not paying.
Like,
Grow up. And
I've been
own
to games
it.
In Cleveland where I've watched, like, I've watched all those things. People buying hot, like, I've been. You know, like, oh, I'm gonna go run and grab a beer. I'm gonna go, you know, grab a hot dog or whatever.
Grab a beer while that's
happening. No. That's not like the game's about to start. The anthem hasn't happened yet, and then you know you're caught in line while it's going on. And so I, given you know the time that I spent at the academy, and,
right.
and I have friends and family in the military. I know what this country means to me. I don't necessarily. Think for me the protests are different. That's not how I wouldn't do that protest, but that's a different thing. So I stand for it, but I see people during the anthem while I went to go grab a beer. I stop. I put my hand over my heart. Whatever. There are people who are looking for money. They're fidgeting. They're you know. And typically concession sales stop, and people are like, "What are you doing? I just want to buy a beer and get back to my seat. Hurry up." People are going in and out of the bathroom. You know, mom is yelling at her two kids. You know, obnoxious guy on his cell phone.
Right.
All that stuff is still happening, right? And people aren't screaming at those. No one's screaming at the mom yelling at the two kids, respect our country. You're being disrespectful because you're...
Correct.
That's not happening.
That
right? Like no one's yelling at the people, you know, that are not in their seats with their hands over their heart, right? Like no one sits there and so that aside, when it comes to these protests, I understand why what these players are doing, why they're doing it, and it makes sense to me. Like you said, this is the perfect protest, right? And if you're a soldier and this is what you fought for freedom, you're going to sit there and tell me that you fought for freedom, but you don't believe people should be free to express themselves during the playing of a song while we're looking at a piece of cloth, right?
A piece of cloth before an event where a bunch of people are going to put on helmets and try to knock the shit out of each other.
Right. I mean,
we're both NFL fans. I'm a ridiculously unapologetic Bills fan, which is incredibly tough to be at times. And yet people get so bent out of shape. Oh, I'm not going to watch the NFL because they haven't done this. Shut the fuck
up. Well, it's funny because now...
Go ahead.
Both sides are actually now... Right? Like, people are protesting the NFL because Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job. And then the other side of protesting because
Other players are joining the protest.
So according to social media, no one's going to be watching the NFL, right? Now, Jim, you want to put a bet on how much money the NFL makes this year?
You know, they may come down from where they've been, but they will not lose money ever.
Here's the deal. I'm willing to say that the NFL is going to make $9 billion this year.
Nine billion.
I just wrote it.
A billion.
They're gonna make
$1 billion
times nine.
Times nine.
That's the number that I'm gonna put on the board for the NFL this year. All right. So all you little fringe people, I'm not watching it because I'm mad. But whatever. One, you're full of shit. You're probably gonna end up watching it. And even if you don't, good riddance. We didn't need you anyway. Right. And chances are, because the people on the far left who are saying that they're boycotting the NFL probably didn't watch it to begin with. Right.
But the people who are saying they're boycotting it because of the anthem protests probably did watch it.
And they're also probably not going to boycott it.
Well, or, you know, they...
I mean, all these Browns... in Cleveland, these Browns fans that are saying let me explain this to you.
Go ahead.
Let's just... Not that it's going to happen. Let's say the Browns start the season 6-2. All these, we're not going to watch the Browns. We're not going to blah, blah, blah.
Here we go, Brownies.
Here we go. Brownies. Here we go. I thought you were protesting. I don't even know how to spell that word. I don't know what you're talking about.
Mind you,
Browns are going to the playoffs. Bernie Kosar. Jim Brown.
And so, did you hear what Jim Brown said about this, by the way?
I did. And, you know, I think... And I can respect what Jim Brown said. Jim Brown comes from a different era.
Definitely.
And Jim Brown's... Let me throw something at you.
No. Who is your favorite athlete of all time? Who's on your phone?
Jesus Christ.
Who's on your phone?
Oh, it's Muhammad Ali.
Right. Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, they were activists in the same
Muhammad
time.
Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown...
Lew Alcindor.
I have the picture. I have the picture when they were all sitting there for Muhammad Ali's press conference when he was not going to fight because he was
stripped of his right to fight because he wouldn't go into the military draft. Right. So Jim Brown has seen multiple generations of racial and social protest.
Right.
Right. So Jim Brown said basically, Colin Kaepernick needs to decide, are you an athlete, are you an NFL player, or are you an activist? And if you're an activist, there's consequences that come with that. Yep. And some of that is you're going to be, you know,
going to be ostracized
from the league.
Yep.
And I mean, it's
now, like, the one thing about Kaepernick hasn't said anything. Like, it's a lot of people.
The only thing he said is this time I will stand for the anthem, by the way. Right. He said,
I will put the protest aside. Right. He said, I'll stand for it. Like, I made my point. I started a conversation. He put his money where his mouth is. He made the investments. He recognized that he wanted to play again. He said, all right, I'll stand. Absolutely. Now, here's the problem. he did this protest before he, you know, when he was running, when his contract was coming to an end. And I would argue that you may want to do this when you have a little bit more contract security.
Fair enough.
But, you know, that being said,
well, you know what, you know, but either way, you're not wrong, but also you have to respect him for saying, I'm willing to take this risk.
So I have this picture on my phone that I keep there.
Yeah.
It's Bill Russell, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Lew Alcindor, which who may have been Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at this point in time, and a bevy other people that, like,
was
I don't
John,
know.
Was it John Holmes? No, not John Holmes. Fuck.
Dr. Who? Lewis?
Yes.
John Lewis?
John Lewis, thank you.
Or Carlos.
Carlos.
Dr. John Carlos. There was another
John
guy.
John Holmes was a totally different person.
Yeah. Sorry. He had a really big dick and he died of AIDS. The big reason that third guy in, people say, looks a lot like me, which is kind of creepy. But anyway, I keep that picture on my phone because it's a powerful picture and a powerful message, right? It's these four of the people in this picture are some of the biggest athletes in the world at that time,
yeah.
Right? Bill Russell, you know, multiple champion with the Celtics, Muhammad Ali, greatest boxer of all time, Jim Brown, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, arguably, you know, Jim Brown, arguably one of the greatest NFL players of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, one of the greatest NBA players of all time, okay? All these guys are sitting there, and this is during the time when Muhammad Ali is dealing with the fact that he
go to jail.
He wasn't going to fight because he was, at that point in time, a Muslim and didn't, a religious objector to going to war. It's an amazing picture. I keep it on my phone because I'm not an activist in the streets and protesting and marching, but I do believe in trying to affect change is the best way that I can. You and I do this show. You know, I work with kids. I do different things. The job that I have, I work in affordable housing. There's just like, I try to do what I can. And this is just a friendly reminder as to why I do this, but
you're trying to carry the torch to the people.
Yes,
before
absolutely.
You, right?
I mean, absolutely. That is the burden and the cross that I bear, and I do it proudly. It's actually not a burden to me. It's a necessity. Like, I have to carry this on. I have to do it. Because if I don't, and I lose sight of that, and you know, people in my generation, if we lose sight of that, then what happens to us? We don't know, and I don't want to find out. But my point is, a guy like Kaepernick, what he did, he took a chance, he took a risk, he put it out there. He was trying to say that, listen, for me, while for you, maybe the flag represents veterans and police, but for me, the flag represents everybody. And with the flag representing everybody, there's a percentage of the population where things aren't going so hot for them right now. And we need to do something about that. And yes, I'm a well-paid athlete, so I'm a person who's in a position to say something. I'm gonna put myself at risk of not being, you know, signed by another team, but I've made millions of dollars, I'm okay. So if I don't get signed by another team, in reality, I'll be fine, right? Like, Colin Kaepernick's not a cautionary tale of a guy who's going to blow all of his money. He's fine financially. He doesn't have to worry about it. So maybe he never plays in the NFL again. He may have made peace with that. If he gets a chance, great. If not, fine, whatever. But he's financially comfortable, so he said, fine, I'm going to stand up and say something for the people who don't have a voice. Because when people protested for Tamir Rice and Michael Brown and Philando Castile, you said, we don't like your protests. No one cares what you're protesting about. It's a non-issue, all right? So you didn't know who any of those people were. You labeled them, you gave them bad names, and so they weren't allowed to protest, right? You didn't want them to protest, right? So now you have athletes with money, and you're saying, well, they can't protest because they've got money. I don't want to listen to them because they've got money. And Colin Kaepernick is saying, fuck you. I'm going to protest because I have the ability to do so. I have a platform. There's millions of people watching this game, so at this point in time, you're going to see what I'm doing. and I need you to at least acknowledge that something is going on, right? Now, all the people on social media are arguing and going back and forth, but in the San Francisco Bay Area, the police, multiple events to reach out and talk to the black community and talk to the inner city to figure out how they can build relationships and build a better bond. Colin Kaepernick dedicated $1 million to different charities and different organizations and different groups and activism groups to help, whether it was black-on-black violence or people, you know, being reintroduced to the community after they've been incarcerated, you know, getting kids different educational programs and getting kids involved in different athletic programs and having police involved with different kids' athletic programs. All those sort of things that help provide solutions to the problems that he was protesting. That's what he did.
And that's, again, perfect protest. Right. What he did not hurt anybody, did not slow down traffic, did not change people's lives on a day-to-day basis.
It didn't even slow down the game in which you were there to watch. And, oh, by the way, realistically, true, most people, if you weren't at the game, you probably didn't even see it.
Like let's move forward and say the fact that it's getting carried on by other players. So Colin Kaepernick is out of the league now. His protest may cost him his NFL career.
Absolutely.
And it has so far, and there's no indication it will not continue to. All these other people, mostly black, some white, some white players putting hands on shoulders, kneeling down with other.
Cleveland Browns, the first white players to kneel during the national anthem, the first white players to do it were Cleveland Browns. And the reason why is the one guy said, he's like, listen, I'm married to a black woman. We're going to have kids, or we have kids. I can't remember. But my kids don't look like me. They're not going to have the same. They're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. I worry that they're going to get treated like, you know, like he's a football player in the NFL. Right. He's grown. He's for his entire life, he's known black players, and he's probably seen black people being treated different than the white people that he grew up with.
And the big issue that keeps getting thrown under the rug is the issue that Colin Kaepernick and all these other people protesting real? Is there inequity in policing and how people of color are treated in their communities real? And if you think the answer is no,
You're being naive.
You're being, at best, naive.
You're not
willingly ignorant, if not being full of shit, at the best, you're being naive. Right. And we've talked about this over the course of our friendship.
Willful ignorance or conscientious stupidity.
Either way, right? Not acceptable. And I mean, I've acknowledged that 10 years ago, I was one of those guys saying, racism isn't really real anymore. I was that guy.
This is what I'll say. Someone, you know, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and he said, listen, the issue with police and, you know, unarmed black people, you know, being killed, that's a drop in the bucket. You know, at the end of the day, it's a small issue, and, you know, it gets a lot of attention, and that's the problem. It's such a small issue. And I said, oh, it's a small issue. Yep, it's a small issue. It's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent. It's only 1,000 people a year, you know, total. And there's 300 million people in the country, and it's a drop in the bucket. So really, it's a small issue. Why do we care? I said, well, here's the deal. It's a small issue that's growing. The number's getting bigger, right? The number of people killed by police every year is growing. Right, it's growing. It was, you know, a few years ago it was 800 people, and now we're up to 1,200 people. And oddly enough, a majority of those people are actually white. Right?
Yeah, you know, I see. I've got a different angle to take on that, though. The idea that it's a small fraction of people being killed. Okay, fine.
Okay, but I mean, and you and I agree. And I know where you're going, but let's just play it out. Let's still play it out.
Go ahead.
All right, and I've said this before on the show, and if you listen to us, you know where I'm going with this, but it's the fact that you're so comfortable, again, with a state agency, state actors, killing citizens of the country that, man, I really have a problem with that. And the fact that you don't, and the fact that you're willing to excuse it away, that scares me, because that attitude can become pervasive. And when that attitude becomes pervasive, the entities that are executing this on a regular basis, they are emboldened and they are empowered. So then it becomes, it goes from justifiable to all of a sudden, they're the ones making the rules to when and how they define the what is justifiable and what's not, right? To a point where you lose control. We don't have control. We can't, there's no longer can we look you and I and say, that's not fair, that's an injustice, that's, you know, like that needs to be punishable. And they're like, well, we make the rules and we say it's not, shut up or you're next. And the problem is that it's the people who have the you know, the quietest voice who are screaming at the top of their lungs and saying, look at this problem, look at this problem. And everyone's saying, well, it doesn't affect me, so I don't care. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect people who look like me. It only affects the bad people, right? Like, if it's a white person, then chances are they're on meth and they're bad and nobody likes them, so I'm willing to deal with that. And black people are idiots anyway. They just kill each other all the time. Look at Chicago. That's the easiest reference that I can do. So as long as it's something about Chicago and people on meth, then I don't have to worry about it. But as soon as it starts to spill out to other people that aren't on meth, that aren't in Chicago, now, that at that point in time, it's too late, right?
Yeah. And the thing I want to wrap this up into is the idea that there's so much deflection. There's so much, here is what this protest means to me. You're desecrating the flag. You're shitting on the country. No. Listen to why they're doing it and own your own choice to deflect that. Because if you, how do I say this right? I won't do that because the whiskey is kicking in. Good whiskey.
Well, I mean,
but
well,
sorry.
Well, I will say, and I think you're hitting on a point where there are those people who say that the flag and the national anthem can only represent veterans and police.
Right.
Right. Like,
and
that's,
they, you know, they typically don't even say police, right? They typically avoid that. They say, you're shitting on veterans. You're shitting on the lost their lives.
It depends on who it is, right? Because if they don't know a veteran, then they go to the, like, then chances are, you know, like there's, I know multiple people who, you know, there's a couple women that I am friends with on social media. Their husbands are police officers, right? So they're pissed off about the protest because it's shitting on the police officers who put their life on the line to keep these rich athletes safe.
Right.
Like, your husband works in a suburb 20 miles away from the city. Your husband does shit for these athletes. Your husband sits at a desk. Right? Your husband puts his life on the line when he drives in the car to take you to fucking salsa night. Like, what the fuck? Like, But
let's say, we don't want to be right, dismissive.
Right, right. You don't want to be dismissive, and I was, and that's not nice. But point being, you know, the people who are getting upset about this, it's almost like they're taking marching orders from Fox News, Breitbart, right? Like, the media is saying,
oh, definitely.
You need to be upset about this, and this is why. And these people are just
protest this.
And
thing.
These people are just like, oh yeah, totally, right? I know somebody in the military, and I'm pissed about this, right? Like, and they refuse to look at any other issue. Like, the flag can only mean veterans and police, and if you don't stand for it, then you're disrespecting those people, and you need to get out of the country. Here's a ticket to Canada. Go back to Africa. Fuck you. Go to Mexico.
And so there were other athletes, though, that were caught on. Up in this mess. There was LeSean McCoy, running back for the Buffalo Bills, my team, and he basically said, it was caught on a hot mic, so this is not a public statement, but he basically said, Colin Kaepernick is not a good enough quarterback to be worth the controversy, and a few friends of mine were pissed about that, and I understand why. And then Spike Lee came out, and I saw this interview on CNN. Spike Lee said, Colin Kaepernick could start for half the teams in the NFL. And I don't.
So here's the deal. They're both right. I'll tell you right now, they're both right.
Half the teams in the NFL?
Yeah. Half the teams in the NFL. And before we get to that, though, LeSean McCoy is right. Colin Kaepernick isn't good enough to withstand, like, for any team to say it's worth it for the distraction. NFL coaches are notorious for not wanting distractions. And the term distractions is defined by anything that's not football-related. Positive football-related, right?
True.
So, I mean, like, you look at a guy like a Bill Belichick or even, like, a Mike Tomlin or...
Belichick is the ultimate example. Right, Belichick. He drives the narrative better than anyone.
Right, like, I hate him, but it's all football all the time, and if it's not football-related, then it's a distraction. He doesn't want it on his team. You know, you see guys get cut for coming in late, or you see guys get cut for, you know, they got busted going on a, you know, having a threesome with Playboy models, and people have to ask questions about, answer questions about it. You know, so you know what? You were drafted in the sixth round. You're not worth it. You're cut. It just, you know, when I was in college, our punter was a very good punter. He broke records in our, you know, in our league, in our conference and everything else. He got signed by the Carolina Panthers. He got interviewed, made a stupid statement. The Panthers wanted him. They needed a punter. He was their punter, and they cut him because he made a stupid comment in an interview. So these teams, they hate distractions, right? So Colin Kaepernick, with this protest, it brings distraction. And so the thing is, if you're – it's all relative based so on
LeSean
what
McCoy said.
It's all relative based on Tom Brady level good. If it were Tom Brady – listen, Ben Roethlisberger is a prime example, right? Ben Roethlisberger has gotten himself into trouble multiple times. I'm a Steeler fan. I love the Steelers. I'm a big fan of Big Ben, although he can frustrate the shit out of me when he throws stupid interceptions. But Ben Roethlisberger has been accused of rape. He wrecked his motorcycle, broke his face, and has
then defended that decision.
Right, and then has, you know,
in both cases, has
done a number of stupid other things around, you know, between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Just being a drunk asshole and everything else. The Steelers dealt with that, and they put up with it because he's really, really, really good. He's
at throwing a football to receivers, yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, he is. He's a Hall of Fame-style quarterback, and he's good at what he's paid to do.
Yes,
so
he
gets a certain level of leeway that a Colin Kaepernick doesn't get, because Colin Kaepernick had 1 year where he was really good and got to a Super Bowl, and another couple decent years, mm-hmm. and then some years that were sketchy at best.
Right.
Okay? But Ben Roethlisberger is really good and has been really good for many, many, many years. So he is going to get a different level of – he's going to get a
– leniency or
leniency,
whatever, yeah.
Scrutiny, all that. Like, it's just it's different based on what you bring to the table. Colin Kaepernick doesn't bring enough to the table where a team says – I'm willing to deal with it, right? We saw it last year with the Cowboys bringing on Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy is really good at rushing the passer.
Yeah.
He's really good, but...
he's a fucking scumbag.
But he's a scumbag. He's a psychopath. He's an abusive, manipulative son of a bitch, right? And it was so bad that the Cowboys actually ended up saying, we can't bring you back because you just don't get it. But they were willing to take a risk with him because of the value that he brought on the field. Now, to our very progressive, liberal, left friends, that idea, oh, my God, this talent is more important than social. Yeah, sorry. Right. Market capitalism, it is what it is. Get over it, right? Like, that's the NFL, right? Like, it's a merit-based thing.
That's business
thing.
In America.
It's business. It's business everywhere, and it's not just the NFL, it's, right? Exactly. If you're a really good attorney at a really big law firm, they're going to put up the fact that you got a DUI, you got busted with a hooker, but if you can still close deals and win cases, then they will reprimand you, but you will still be in court on Monday. That is what it is, because you're good at what you do. That's how.
And you make money for right. the entities that, yes,
that's,
true.
That's it. That's true. That, you know, if you're a good salesman, if you sell more than anyone else and you have access to things that other people don't have access and relationships that other people don't have, then you can do stupid shit to a certain degree, and they're going to give you more leeway than the guy who barely hits his numbers. Right, and does something stupid.
Totally true, and I totally want to go down a episode of Entourage, but I will spare us this. And just let's close it out on the Cleveland Cavaliers made a trade. This is kind of off topic, but kind of not, because it was funny. I was in Frederick, Maryland at my hotel, and I see a scroll. It was one of the first times in our recent interactions where I got the news before you. So I got the news that the Cavs had made a trade and that they had traded Kyrie Irving to Boston for Isaiah Thomas. And I called you and you were pumped because you liked the trade. You like Isaiah Thomas. You like Jay Crowder. You've heard there were more assets in this deal. And Kyrie, who you are a fan of and you've met, was heading out of town, but he wanted to head out of town. So he made his choice. Good for him. Now that's in question, because now apparently Isaiah Thomas's injury could be worse than we thought.
Yeah.
How awkward will it be if they have to back out of this trade?
I don't think they are. And based off of everything, what it sounds like, the Cavs are basically saying, listen, we're not going to back out of the trade. The optics would be horrible. We feel relatively comfortable that Isaiah Thomas will be healthy enough. We also have Derrick Rose in our back pocket. But the Cavs are definitely saying, listen, just for insurance, we want more. And the Celtics are in a tough spot because they are feeling – I guarantee you Danny Ainge, who's the general manager for the Celtics, is probably thinking, shit, they figured us out. Busted. What do I do? I think the Celtics will cave. They will give the Cavs whatever they're asking for, because if it's that big of a question, obviously the Celtics don't want him back, because they're not. This is the only chance that they have. Like, now everybody knows.
You know what? So let's talk about Kyrie for a minute. So when LeBron left Cleveland under the famous situation, it was ugly. I was a lover. I was a hater. I was a guy who loved him coming back. And this is totally different. Kyrie basically said, I want to be the featured guy. And if LeBron James is ahead of you, you're not going to be that guy, because LeBron James is one of the top five best players in this league in its history, if not the top three. So I have no beef with Kyrie at all.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I am disappointed to see Kyrie go.
Me too.
But I'm very okay with the trade. Hopefully Isaiah Thomas can get back to being healthy and the same player that we saw last
year.
Dude,
he can shoot the ball.
Right. I mean, he can definitely score. So here's my deal. I applauded this trade when it came down. I was pumped. You know, we talked about it between getting Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder and the 7-footer.
And a pick, yeah.
And the Brooklyn Nets pick is the key, right? That's a first round pick. It's probably going to be a lottery pick. And so now you've got a team where you've got Isaiah Thomas, you've got LeBron James, you've got Derrick Rose, and you get a lottery pick. You know, now all of a sudden things are looking up. Not that they were even looking down before that.
Right.
So I'm very okay with this, right? Kyrie and a healthy Isaiah Thomas are very similar players. Thomas is a dynamic scorer. He's not a great defender. Kyrie can score, but he's not a great defender. And Isaiah Thomas would have the backing of LeBron James, which he did not have anything similar
true.
Or remotely close
totally
to that
true.
In Boston. So I'm okay with this. And people are saying, well, it's the same guy. And I'm like, yes, that's a win. The guy we had wanted out, so we bring in a guy who's just like him, and that guy has LeBron James at his back, and he's never had it before. Hopefully, we get the best out of that guy and maximize it, so it's great. But let me tell you this about Kyrie. Kyrie Irving provided a light in this city when everything was dark. LeBron James was gone. He left us. He did the decision. At the YMCA,
right.
Wearing that ugly shirt, talking to Jim Gray, snivelly fucking punk ass, right? He does that thing, oh, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach, and he goes. I wasn't thrilled about it, but I said, okay, right? Dan Gilbert writes that letter, And everybody went nuts, and I said, eek, that might hurt us. That might come back to hurt us. I wasn't happy about it, but I understood it. I understood it at the time. I will tell you I wasn't happy about it, but I understood LeBron James' decision from jump. He was a kid who grew up here. He lived here. This is all he knew, and he needed out. He needed to experience something different. Fine. Go. See you later. You'll be back. He did come back.
But which I never thought would happen.
But while he was gone, I knew he would come back. I could relate exactly. I felt the reason why I left, the reason Jim Tressel recruited me to go to Youngstown State, I left. I couldn't go to Youngstown State because I couldn't stay in Youngstown to go to college because I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, you get it.
So I definitely understood it.
You know, you're in a unique, or not unique, but a rare position to address this.
Right. So, and so I understood why LeBron left completely. I understood why he came back for the same reason I came back. I missed home. He missed home. There's something about Northeast Ohio that draws you back. But that being said, he did leave. He was gone. And there was a void. And we drafted Kyrie, and Kyrie came in, and he provided a light. He provided hope. We didn't win a ton of games. We actually had a horrible losing streak. But he was very good. You knew he was really good. He had some injuries. He had some growing up to do. I met him at Barley House.
I love that story.
Weird story with Steve and random celebrity. But he was a good kid. And watching him before LeBron came back, he was really good. And we said, this kid could be something. And that something turned out to be he could be a champion, right? And it turned out that he was a champion because LeBron came back. And when LeBron came back, we went to the finals. And had he not been hurt, I think we may have beat Golden State in that first set of finals.
Agreed.
All right. But we didn't. We lost. He hurt because his kneecap exploded. Then he comes back the second year. We play Golden State. And he hits the shot.
The shot.
And now what that means for us is now Cleveland, all of a sudden, the shot means something totally different now than it did literally 2 seconds before that shot was made. The shot used to mean the shot that Jordan hit over Craig Elo. Now the shot is the shot that Kyrie hit over
Steph Curry,
right? That's what the shot means. And that's the shot that Kyrie made. Kyrie
did that. Cleveland sports history.
Kyrie did that for Cleveland. Kyrie all of a sudden now made us winners. Kyrie put us on the top. Yes, LeBron had the block, right? But we got a 2-for-1, right? We got the shot and the block in the same game.
Even the stop by Kevin Love.
Right. I mean, like, so all of a sudden, like, now things are happening, and it's happening for us. Things are going our way. Kyrie was a major part of that. That doesn't change. So what I say is, damn it, kid.
You're young. Go do your thing.
No. You're young, dumb, and full of cum, right? So you got to go. You got to sow your royal oats, so it is what it is. I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it. So I'm going to send you on your way. I'm going to give you a pat on the back, and I'm going to say thank you for what you gave me. You gave me something I never had before, and I appreciate it, and I will always appreciate it. Kid should probably have his number raised in the rafters, all right? That being said, fuck you and the city you're going to.
All right, so your opinion towards the city of Boston has been spelled out clearly on the show. I love the city of Boston.
Fuck that city. One of my best friends is from Boston. I love him dearly. He's literally one of the closest. He knows me as much as anybody, and so I have
the
to.
Food's
be
great.
I have to be careful with this, but. Fuck Boston.
I hear it. All right. So let's close on that. Fuck Boston. Good talking to you. You get your rant.
I love you, though.
Let's close this out and maybe have one more drink together, maybe smoking a cigar
sitting
or whatever.
Sitting on the dock of the bay. All
right. You're saying I'm out. Good night.
Peace be with you.